You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
We have Professor Nyla Shalsh coming in here to talk about a Life on Mars talk at Umbrellos tonight. How are you doing this morning, Nyla?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm real chill, man. I'm real chill. Did I get close to pronouncing your last name there?
Yes, that was perfect.
Oh, thank God.
Just one little detail. I'm doctor, not professor, but I'm
sorry.
Very flattered that you think that I'm professor.
I always forget which ones. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
in terms of the you having a good morning this morning?
Yeah, perfect. Nice. I'm very happy to be here.
Nice, man. I think the like sun and the greenery in the sky is really helping with a lot of things.
Definitely.
Yeah. Awesome. For my first question for you, because we're talking about space, do you believe in aliens?
Yeah, I get that question a lot.
I'm not surprised. I'm sorry to put you through it again.
No, that's all good. I'd say that so as a scientist, I don't necessarily believe if alien exists or not, but as a person, I would hope that alien life exists. I hope that if there are aliens out there, they'd be nice.
They'd be peaceful, yeah.
So my job is more looking for chemical proofs of life instead of looking for aliens. because we're mostly looking in the solar system, and for now we don't have any proof of alien life in the solar system. So if there was life out there, I'd hope it'd be aliens. Yeah.
I guess what is it? SETI is the
program SETI to is look the, for alien life. Yeah.
Established by I think Carl Sagan. Shout out to Carl Sagan.
Yeah.
One of the best to ever do it. You do some really, really awesome stuff in terms of looking for life in the solar system. I mean, just to speak on one thing that you've done, in 2021 you co-authored a scientific article examining the effect of Mars-like conditions, i.e. strong UV rays and chlorine particles, lots of chlorine particles, you looked at the effects of those things on the building blocks of genes, and that's kind of a rough summary of it. I know probably not necessarily super accurate, but in summary, what did the article tell us about how those conditions affect genetic material?
So a part of my job is to look at how organic matter evolves on Mars, because organic matter is the building blocks of life, so we're all composed of that. It's the primary material of life, if I could say it like that. And so we're looking for that on Mars because that's one of the things that we're made of as living organisms. So I was interested at looking how nucleobases can evolve in the Martian environment, because nucleobases are the building blocks of DNA.
So that's thiamine, guanine, cytosine.
Yeah, exactly. And so they're also found in meteorites and comets and all this stuff, so with a non-biological origin. Mm-hmm. And so it was this idea of, if there was life that's similar to the one that we have on Earth, but also if there's organic matter that falls on Mars with these molecules, how can we look for them? Because for now, we don't find a lot of organic matter on Mars. We find a little, but it's hard to relate it to any kind of life that we know, or even to the meteorites that are composed of this organic matter.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up the meteorites and the asteroids with the organic matter, because, I mean, there's that theory, was it panspermia?
Yes.
That life arrived on Earth through space,
yes.
Yeah, on a big rock.
Yeah, so that's one of the hypotheses, but yeah.
How, what do you think about panspermia?
I think it's plausible, but we don't have enough data. We don't have enough knowledge of what Earth was like at that time. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say, oh, this is very plausible, we should go and look for this hypothesis, which is why there's a lot of different scientists working on different hypotheses. But yeah, panspermia is one of those as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's very fascinating stuff, eh?
It is.
There was a massive discovery made quite recently. Well, actually, no, months ago. Sorry. I forget we're nearly in November. My goodness. In July, NASA's Perseverance rover analyzed a Martian rock, which showed clear potential for the development of organic life and suggested that Mars might have once had microbial life. What was your position on that research?
Yeah, so I'm going to be very careful of what I'm going to say about that.
No stress.
Yeah. So it's usually, there's usually a very big media outbreak when there's something like that comes out, because it's not very often that we find rocks on Mars or even on other planets that have all the conditions to say, oh, this is a potential biosignature. So biosignature is basically something that could only be explained by life. Mm-hmm. It could be chemical. It could be, I don't know, if you find a fossil of, I don't know, of something on Mars, you know that it could only be explained by life, right? Mm-hmm. And so that rock was very interesting because it shows that fluids have circulated through the rock, and it's we think that it was water. They also detected organic matter, so we saw that organic matter is very important in life. So we have water, which is one of the main conditions for life to exist. Mm-hmm. Organic matter, which is so we don't know exactly what organic matter we found yet, so that's still an ongoing research. And then we also have the proofs of chemical reactions, so we call that redox reactions, that are very important to fuel the chemistry in biology, so the biochemical metabolisms. So this rock was very interesting for that because it has all the conditions to say it's a potential biosignature. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that there's life on Mars. It just means that that's a good place to look for it. And so this rock is supposed to be brought to Earth with the Mars sample return mission in 2030, somewhere around that.
That's going to be very exciting too, if they turn up, eh?
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. Your talk tonight at Umbrellos centers on how we should look for life in the vastness of the universe. Given there's lots of options, for example, sending a rover to somewhere like Mars, or instead maybe sending a probe on a long-term mission to a solar system where astronomers have identified the possibility of an alien megastructure, which could possibly be a biosignature, existing around its home sun, what do you think is the most feasible option?
The most feasible option is definitely sending space missions within our solar system. Mm-hmm. So it's not only Mars, there's also Titan, mm-hmm. or Oceanwards.
Yeah.
So we have a simulation chamber. I can talk about that a little bit later in the lab here in Otago. Mm-hmm. But so the most feasible one is definitely exploring our solar system, because there's still a lot that we don't know. For example, the outer solar system has Oceanwards, which are basically underground oceans in some of the moon, like Europa or Enceladus. And this is still something that we haven't explored yet. So most feasible option, solar system. The most dreamy one is, probably going outside our solar system.
But it's also like you have to, I don't know, send something at a billion miles an hour and then have to wait a million years.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. To people, I mean, this has probably been done many times, but can you learn a lot from going down to the bottom of the ocean and investigating the, like, volcanic trenches and seeing, you know, what life, how life could have originated from out of there?
Yes.
Is that something that happens quite a lot?
Yes, yes. So the ocean is very interesting because there are life forms there, sometimes even very deep in the ocean where light doesn't penetrate very much. There are life forms that are very interesting. Mm-hmm. So that's the job of biologists, not mine. But there's also what we call hydrothermalism, which is basically volcanic activity in the ocean. Mm-hmm. And in that place, you have the possibility of forming organic matter, which is also like very interesting because it's a place where you have a lot of heat, water, and organic matter. So that's also another possibility to explain how life originated on Earth. Yeah,
really, really interesting stuff there, eh? Mm-hmm. Another thing you'll be touching on in your talk tonight is how lab experiments on Earth can tell us about how about supporting space missions and the search for signs of extraterrestrial life. How can you try and simulate certain conditions that you want to replicate? For instance, there's a piece of equipment that you mentioned that we have here, or this is a simulator or something.
Yeah, so we call that a simulation chamber. In the case here, in the case of Otago here, we try to simulate the Titan environment, which is a moon of Saturn, mm-hmm. and we want to see how the chemistry occurs there, because there's photochemistry, so that's basically the UV penetrating the atmosphere, or high energetic particles. And on Titan, we haven't found any water yet, but there's a very rich organic chemistry on Titan, and we want to have a look at how the photochemistry influence the other chemicals that are in the atmosphere there. Mm-hmm. And so here we study what we call co-crystals, which sounds like a very fancy word, but it just means that it's two molecules that make a crystal together. Mm-hmm. And they're organic molecules, and if you put that with UV light or high energetic particles, you can form more complex molecules. And that's very interesting, but because it's looking at what what Earth could have been in the past. Mm-hmm. When it was an environment where there was not water yet.
Yeah, no, true. Wait, so does life on Earth pre-exist water on Earth?
We don't know exactly how water came on Earth. It might have been from the comets, for example, because comets are very rich in water. So a comet is basically a big ball of ice and dust, and that dust is organic matter, and you have a very high fraction in water. So it's probably because at that time, when Earth was still forming, there was a lot of bombardments.
Yes.
And comets were still bombarding a lot Earth, so they could have delivered a part of their water and organic matter. Yeah.
True. That's man, they could have come together as a package.
I know.
This is a bit more of a my next couple of questions is a bit more theoretical, but do you think it's foolish to be probing around the universe as we could encounter a dangerous alien civilization?
So, I'm not sure if we encounter an alien civilization if they're going to be dangerous or if they're going to be nice. Mm. But if we send a probe to another solar system, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of discussion and a lot of panels with the scientists and the engineers and the politics and all of that to come to an agreement of what, of what has to be done and what precaution we should take if we send a probe outside of our solar system, because it hasn't been done yet. Mm. So I'm pretty sure that's going to be a very big discussion. But today we still don't have the technology to do that. So, yeah, mm-hmm. We'll see.
We'll see. We will indeed. Do you think that technology will happen relatively soon?
I'm not sure. Because it's still just for Mars, it takes 14 minutes for the signal to come back to us when we send a space mission there and we want to communicate with the rover. Mm-hmm. If you send it to the solar outside the outer solar system, so Titan, Saturn, all of that, it takes even longer, and it just to go there it takes 10 years, even more sometimes. So I'm not sure if we have the technology soon. Yeah.
It'll be something in the works.
Yeah. It's still on.
Yeah, there's a lot of maybes.
A lot of maybes, always in science.
I'm not too sure how familiar you are with this, but the great filter theory proposes that civilizations often hit an obstacle that they can't climb over. Some say because of this, it's better that we're the only civilization in the universe, because if we find some old alien ancient ruin, that means that undoubtedly we'll hit a barrier ourselves. What do you think about that? No, great filter theory.
Okay. So the great filter theory is one possible explanation to the Fermi paradox.
Yes.
The Fermi paradox says that especially today, it's very true today with all the exoplanet that we discover, and some of them might have oceans, some of them have atmospheres that are possibly a good environment for life. So with all the possibilities that we have, if you count all the stars and all the planets and everything in the universe, so the possibilities of life to exist on those different planets, why haven't we found any? Mm-hmm. And so one possible explanation would be the great filter theory, which says that basically, if a civilization comes to a certain level of intelligence, it just causes it auto-destruction.
Yeah.
I think with everything that we see today, it might be an explanation, because in the past years, we were this close to end the humanity, either with nuclear wars or even just with global warming today, you know?
Yeah.
But I still believe that as humans, we have willpower, and we should use it for the good cause. So yeah, sometimes I'm it's a very pessimistic way to look at it with the great filter theory, so sometimes I like going a little bit on the optimistic side.
I respect that a lot. Thank you very much for your time this morning. I have one last question, and it is, what is your favorite movie with aliens?
Star Wars. Yeah, I'm a big Star Wars fan.
Nice. Yeah. What number? Oh yeah, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
The third one. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, The Revenge of the Sith.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
nice.
A great one.
Yeah, it's classic film. Well, thank you very much for coming on the program this morning, Nyla. It was fantastic chatting
with you.
Thank you.
Of course. It was great.
Of course. That was Dr. Nyla Shausch coming on to talk about whether there's life on Mars. Which is, you know, a very, very, very fun topic to have. If you'd like to learn more, you can go to Umbrellas tonight at 6:30? 5:30 at Umbrellas tonight to learn more about that. We're going to play, obligatorily, we have to play David Bowie's Life on Mars. It's so fitting.
Yeah.
But yeah, take care, folks. We'll see you very shortly for more yarns. Kakite!
It's a gorgeous day. God-awful small affair to the girl with the mousy hair, but her mommy is yelling no.
There was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.